Hi, I'm Jack Grimmer, a Wycombe Wanderers, and you're listening to Wycombe Sound.
The Wycombe Wanderers Show.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Wycombe Wanderers Show. We're down to the final five games, that is, in case you're wondering, of the season. It's an exciting time, isn't it? Especially after the fantastic win and much-needed win as well at Huddersfield on Tuesday night. We'll review that with Phil in a few moments' time. We'll hear from head coach Mike Dodds speaking after it, and Dan Udo, who spoke very well and got a goal, of course, as well. So Phil was telling me that Dan Udo is not brilliantly comfortable with doing interviews, so Phil suggested he shouldn't score and be the only goal scorer in a game, and therefore he won't have to do them. We'll be chatting very soon as well to the now outgoing vice chair of the Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Players Association, John Taylor, will be speaking to us this hour as well. They had their AGM yesterday, and we'll find out some big news that's come from that. If you don't know, then if you're new to this show, Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Players Association are pivotal in it. The show, in fact, many say it's their favourite part, because we get to chat to players from a long time ago and comparatively recently as well, who've worn the Sky and Navy quarters. So that's coming up. Also, we'll continue following the chair girls as well. If you're listening last week, thanks. We caught up with the league's leading scorer, Kayla Potter, and she was telling us about how she signed for the club this season with thanks to Puds slash Dan, Daniel Puddyfoot, a brilliant midfielder who will be speaking to us a bit later on as well. All that and more on the way within the next hour, but first let's bring you our match briefing from Phil. And as you'd expect, things looking a lot better after a win on Tuesday.
Yeah, football is a results business. I think one of the other cliches we've used on many times during our many chats, Colin, and it's completely true. You know, we can talk about XG and, you know, shots on attempted goals, attempted shots on goal and shots on target and, you know, touches in the opponent's penalty area, all the other bits and pieces. But there is only one stat, really, that that impacts everyone's sort of mood the next day, and that is the result. And so it was great to get the 3 points. It was great to get the goal, a good goal as well. Another clean sheet, which also helps. So it puts the pressure back on now to Wrexham. I'm sure they'd have been watching along last night, hoping for a Wycombe slip up, a draw or defeat to protect that 6 point lead. But now it's back to 3 points. Everyone's on the same games again now. The goal difference is 2 in Wycombe's favour, so very tight indeed. And we're looking at what will hopefully be a thrilling and exciting end to the season now.
Great to see Dan Udo on the score sheet again, but could there have been more goals perhaps?
Yeah, I think that was perhaps a theme that you could attach to the previous two or three games before, that you know, our dominance should have, you know, heralded more goals. I think that's fair to say. But look, I think last night was all about the result. I think Huddersfield's been a tricky place to go. And, you know, the new manager there, or interim manager, had won all of his home games up to this point. It's a lovely stadium, my first visit. And, you know, it's a big club with a big history. And they've had a good season, disappointing by where they wanted to be. So to go there and get the win, I think, was excellent. And for Dan Udo to get the goal as well. You know, Richard Kone ran himself into the ground. It was good to see them up there together. Kone providing the assist, and Dan Udo with the excellent finish. It was a great goal, worthy of winning any game. And, you know, speaking to Mike Dodds afterwards as well, you could see that he was pleased with what had happened.
Yeah, it's a really important 3 points, and not just in terms of the league table, which I know everyone will obviously clearly focus on, I understand that, but just for the group really, because, you know, they've been hurting the last two games, because we've taken 1 point from a possible 6 before this evening, which, you know, we genuinely feel it should have been 6, and it should be 9 from 9. But look, it is what it is. I don't want to keep coming back on that, but I think for the group there, I think that's just reward for the previous two performances, if anything. And that's not to take away from tonight's performance. It was a different type of performance. It wasn't as fluid, and it wasn't as controlled in terms of possession. But we knew, you know, this is a really, really good Huddersfield team. You know, regardless of league position, they've got, you know, a huge budget for this league. You just come to the stadium and the surroundings, you know, it's all geared up to be a championship football club. So we knew it was going to be be a difficult evening, and we knew we had to set up slightly differently. But the players executed exactly what we wanted from them, and it's just rewards for a really kind of gutsy performance. I'd probably call it a really gutsy performance, and it's the reward for what they should have got in the previous games. You know, results are always really tight around these periods. In particular, obviously, they're fighting for something. We're fighting for something. But it was a really, really good finish. I think Dan Udo, since I've been at the football club, has performed really, really well. And obviously, we missed him for a couple of games. And just on a personal note, he was a big, big miss in terms of what we're trying to do. So to get him back on the pitch 90 minutes, you know, I'd like to have got him more minutes against Reading, but we felt it was maybe a game too early. But, you know, with obviously him back in the team, Richard Coney, I feel at the top end of the pitch, we'll start to get some more threats in terms of those two players on the pitch.
You mentioned on Saturday about getting points to put pressure on those around us. That's what we've done tonight. You must be pleased with that.
Yeah, definitely. Listen, my focus is still on us. It's still on the fans, the people behind the scenes, the group. You know, that's my focus in terms of the culture and all those types of things. That being said, I think people wrote us off after Reading, and that's probably galvanised the group a little bit in terms of, right, you know, you want to write us off, then they turned up here, and what they have shown to a lot of people, they're a really gutsy group. You know, they're a really together group. They believe in what we're trying to do. As I said, unfortunately, it's business end of the season, so it's a little bit more tetchy, and some of the decision making at times isn't as clean as what you'd want it to be. But we still believe that we've got a real chance. And you know, I said to the group after Reading, there's still plenty of twists and turns for the remaining games, for everyone involved, us, people above us, people below us. There's plenty of twists and turns still to come.
And another clean sheet as well in what is a tough place to come.
Yeah, listen, the defensive side was is something that I've been really proud of since I've come to the football club. We've had a lot of clean sheets. I think it's probably the other end that I haven't been disappointed. We just haven't been as clinical as what I would like us to be. And that's not a criticism of the group or any individual, because we have created chances this evening. Again, we created a number of chances, and you start to think, it's not again. You know, Caleb Taylor gets one cleared off the line. You get chances at and fed on Yedimura at that end. So, you know, on any other day, those chances go in, and it ends up being 3-4-0. And everyone waxes lyrical about, you know, how good we are. So defensively, we've been excellent. And, you know, I think we were talking, we had a review with the lads. I think since I've been at the football club, we've conceded 7 goals. 4 of them have been open play. So that's now, what, 12 games since I've been at the football club? We've only conceded 4 goals from open play. 7 in total, 3 of them are penalties. So from a defensive perspective, we've been outstanding. What we need to do is just, you know, probably be a little bit more clinical on the top area of the pitch. And if we do that, we're going to have a really strong end to the season.
It feels really good listening to him talking about, you know, it's a great reward for the players as well. And he feels that, you know, we should have had many more points from recent games, especially.
Yeah. Yeah. There is that element of frustration, isn't there? Especially when you look at the table today, because we should have beaten Shrewsbury. That would be 2 extra points. We should have beaten Reading, or at least got something from that game. So an extra 1 or 3 points, depending on your outlook. But that's football. And that happens. Teams go through those stages throughout the season. Wickham had an absolutely red hot phase, October, November. You know, and you could say perhaps outperformed at XG if you're into the stats and whatever. But that was a purple patch. And teams, you don't go through a whole season firing on all cylinders. It's not the same. Even Birmingham have had small wobbles, and congratulations to them, by the way, for getting promoted. But yeah, so look, you know, it's about riding the waves and getting yourself back up. And, you know, I think in terms of results wise, you know, even when we haven't played well or finished well, we've rarely lost games this season. So I think it's important to kind of keep our feet on the ground with that, and look to kind of, you know, regain that mojo in front of goal in these closing stages. And, you know, if we can do that to good effect and Wrexham slip up, then hopefully we get above the dotted line. And then if not, it's that mojo going into the playoffs, which is a sensation that Wickham fans will know well.
And Mike touched on how pleased he is with defensively how well the team have been since he's come to the club.
Yeah, very tight. I don't think anyone else in the league has conceded less goals in the Mike Dodds era, if you look across League One, across those period of games. And that really, really helps, doesn't it? If you don't concede any or hardly any, then, you know, if you've only got to score one in a game, which is what we proved last night. So, yeah, I think defensively, like, very solid. And there were some really good performances last night as well. I think Will Norris, I think, had his best game in a Wickham shirt. Two, I think, really good saves. One fantastic save late on from a header. And I thought Caleb Taylor, Sonny Bradley, Jack Grimmer, the back three, as was at the start of the game, was excellent. I think, you know, Caleb Taylor especially, and equally unlucky at the other end as well, Caleb Taylor having one headed off, taken off the line from a header. I think he's due a goal. I think he'll score between now and the end of the season. That's my big prediction, Colin.
Oh, no, I'll put that in an envelope and we'll open it at the end and see if it happens.
Well, it's only a few weeks.
I'll save the envelope. Won't even need it. Also, of course, down to the final five, and three of those at home.
Yeah. So, and the big games as well. Like last night, I thought was the first of a set of games that have big things riding on, not just for us, but for the opponents as well. Like Huddersfield could have got themselves back into that top six conversation last night with a home win. Wickham obviously needed to win to keep in touch with Wrexham. So both teams with stuff on the line yesterday, and Wickham came through it really, really well. Stevenage, not so much this weekend, but as Lincoln proved the other week, those teams are difficult for other reasons. And then we move into an excellent sort of Easter campaign where we've got a Bolton team who lost last night, but will be hoping to still be in the playoff equation come Good Friday. And that's away. That's a tricky game. Charlton at home, they're on red hot form. They are probably the form horse in the top six coming into the final straight now. So they have to be feared and respected in equal measure. We lost there over Christmas. So Easter Monday will be a huge fixture, in terms of what happens for maybe both teams this season. And then I think we're away at Orient, who are perhaps losing touch of the playoffs now, but you know that could change in the next two or three games. So that could be a huge game for their season as well as ours. And then Stockport home on the final game of the season. You know, Stockport have been in the top six now for as long as I can remember. We beat them 5-0 at their place earlier in the season. They'll be looking to avenge that. They may well need something from the game as well as us. And, you know, wouldn't it be lovely as if results all go our way between now and Easter and over Easter, and we can enjoy that final game of the season. But I don't think football's like that, is it, Colin? I think it might be going down to the wire.
It could be a roller coaster, as has been mentioned quite a few times. I don't know if you can have a roller coaster in five games. I suppose you can.
I'm not sure. Ronan Keating wrote a song about that, didn't he? Or certainly sang a song. I'm not sure if he wrote it, actually. The guy from the New Radicals wrote
that. That's right, yes, yeah.
But Ronan Keating sung it. And, yeah, life is a roller coaster. You've just got to ride it. And, yeah. Never a truer word has been spoken.
It's a good message to fans as well, I think, to obviously get behind the team for the remaining five games. And as I say, especially the three at home.
Yeah, lots of things have happened this season, Colin, that I didn't expect. And I didn't expect I'd be reciting lyrics sung by Ronan Keating on our chats about Wickham Wanderers. But there we are.
That's one to keep.
Look, I think as fans, Dan Udo said it last night, you know, just keep coming, keep supporting, keep getting behind us. And it makes a difference. And, you know, all the team are doing everything they can to achieve something hugely special for this club, for themselves and for the fans and for the community. So look, the fans have got to play their part. And, you know, I thought Dan Udo spoke brilliantly last night about that. So, you know, and the fans who travelled last night and messaged in during the game, their presence was felt.
No, definitely. We'll enjoy the game on Saturday lunchtime and enjoy the rest of your Saturday afterwards as well. And look forward to catching up with you next week.
Cheers, Colin. Take care, mate.
Real pleasure chatting to Phil. Should apologise to any Ronan Keating fans offended by... It wasn't singing, was it? I was just quoting the lyrics. That's fine. I'm sure you can get away with that. Hopefully as well, you heard the chat with Mike Dodds in the background. There was some very professional mowing. You can hear that full interview on Wanderers TV and on the club website, of course, where you can also catch up with Dan Udo's post-match reaction. But here's something to whet your appetite. Listen out for more excellent mowing as well in the background from the goal scorer.
It was just that moment we were waiting for, really. We knew it was going to be a tough game, and the gaffer and the staff identified that their right back bombs on a lot and will get in down the left. And Rich, as any forward does, is looking for who's playing next to him, like I do when I'm playing with anyone up front. He's just looking for my strike partner. Found me nicely, and yeah, on my left, I back myself every day. So yeah, it was a really good goal, and I thank God, and I give God all the glory for that.
in front of the Wickham fans as well, who made the long trip today. That must be sweet scoring at their end.
Oh, definitely. Like, full credit to them for travelling all the way. It's not an easy journey. We've got it now on the way back. God knows what it is, 4 hours or something, and they're doing it on a Tuesday night off there and back. So, and we're going to need them. They're important for the next five games. If we're going to get over the line and get what we need to get, we're going to need every single one of them. So please keep on supporting us, and thank you.
And, you know, we've had loads and loads of attempts on goal in the last sort of two, three games. So yeah, to get one today and to get the result over the line, hugely important for our season.
Definitely. You know, like, I always see stuff and hear stuff, you know, like when players are having so many shots and so many attempts, no one goes out on the pitch to miss or goes out not to score and whatever. But there's games where, like the Shrewsbury one, it was just wasn't meant to be. We created chances, but we didn't take them. It's not every day is going to be Christmas. I know, because we started the season so well and we were free-flowing in goals, it's like it's going to get to a point where people are expecting us to be a free-flowing scoring team, and they'll put more emphasis on defending against us and being a low block and harder to beat. So definitely, and it's just down to us to find a way to get ourselves where we want to be.
And tonight was a first of a run of games against teams that have also got something to play for. Huddersfield were desperate for the 3 points themselves to keep themselves in that top six hunt. And we've got a few of those coming up between now and the end of the season. What's it like to play in a game of such importance for both teams?
Listen, I've always been in a relegation scrap, so like I'm ready to roll my sleeves up, like the other boys are, my teammates, ready to roll our sleeves up and just go ahead for the next five games. And like what we've started this season, we want to finish it well, and hopefully can either be enjoying at the end or whatever comes, we're ready.
Back at home on Saturday, Stevenage, that's going to be a tough game as well there. Always hard against Stevenage.
Yeah, games always hard against Stevenage. They're always hard to beat, they're always direct. So we've got to match that and be better, because like we've got more to play for. And I'm not saying they haven't got anything to play for. Like, as professionals, you're going to play for a bit of pride and whatever. But we've got something that we're pushing for and a goal that we need to get to. So we're going to go all out again.
It's a long season. It's a hard season, not just for the players, but for the fans as well. Yeah. To be so close to the finish line with so much to play for, how does that feel?
This is the roller coaster of football, you know. Like, one day you're high, the next day you're low. It's just about trying to stay as level-headed and in the middle as much as you can, and support the boys like they have done all season, and for us, the boys, to deliver. And we're all trying our best. No one goes out onto the pitch, like I said, to have a bad game. So good or bad, just support us and we'll give our best.
Some great words from Dan Udo speaking after Tuesday night's victory at Huddersfield. In case you're interested, there are two separate mowers there for mowing enthusiasts. And Phil, of course, chatting to him, he'll be bringing us match commentary from Adams Park. It's a 12:30 kick-off against Stevenage on Saturday.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire, and on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound.
We could use this time to tell you that 89% of the UK population tunes into the radio every week, and every £1 spent on radio advertising delivers twice the audience of any other medium.
Or we could fill this spot with your advert. Wycombe Sound has a range of bespoke packages tailored to suit your budget and options to either create or send us your advert, plus a 10-minute interview to plug your company.
For more information, go to wickhamsound.org.uk or give us a call on 01494 449900.
Advertising with Wycombe Sound has never been easier.
Hi there. Do you love good music, whether it be blues, 1950s R&B, the Great American Songbook, classic and vintage jazz, folk or gospel? If you do, why not treat yourself and tune in to Nice and Easy with me, Alan, here on the multi-award-winning Wycombe Sound, every Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Believe me, it's worth staying up for and you will not be disappointed. So remember, that's Nice and Easy every Wednesday at 10 o'clock here on Wycombe Sound.
The Wycombe Wanderers Show, Thursdays from 7.
Still to come on this week's Wycombe Wanderer Show, we'll catch up with Mike Dodds. We'll hear from him once again, looking ahead to Saturday's lunchtime kickoff against Stevenage. And we'll catch up with Danielle Prodiford, who's a Wycombe Wanderers women midfielder. But first, the Wycombe Wanderer Show is in its fifth season. And I remember very well when we were sort of putting it together and thought what we'd like to have on the show, I thought I spoke to Matt Cecil at the club and said it'd be brilliant to get, you know, a regular feature where we speak to ex-players. He said JDT is who you need. And around 200 ex-players later, I'm very pleased to say John Taylor joins us on the show this week, who until yesterday was the vice chair of the Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Players Association. Thank you so much for joining us.
No mowers here, I can assure you, Colin.
Oh, it could
sorry
be,
about that.
It could be a theme running through all our interviews now.
Yeah. Yes, a strange week, but I always look on the bright side, and the bright side is that we've got two slightly younger people taking over the reins at the Ex-Players Association, and I think that that can only be good for us. We've had a fantastic 16 years, Hutch and I, and I think it's about time that somebody else they all do a lot, but to have the final responsibility, if you like.
Because I guess many fans don't really perhaps know or even appreciate, you know, what the Ex-Players Association does, because it's not just, you know, a group of ex-players. There's so much more that you all do.
Well, it's strange you say that, because I got somebody on the phone only a few weeks ago from Southend, and they said, how does your operation work? And I said, well, first of all, how many members have you got? And he said, well, we've got about 300. I said, 300? How do you manage that? And he said, well, we just write to them and say, would you like to become a member? And they say yes, and we make them a member. I said, oh, I see. Well, that, to me, isn't an ex-player club. That's just encouraging, you know, people to come back and perhaps see the odd game. We had, right from the very start, a lot more plans than that. And over the time, we have managed to achieve that. And, I mean, one of the things, obviously, is the fact that, first of all, we're charitable. So every penny that comes into the club, none of us take any expenses or anything like that. We pay the club for facilities, and when we have the dinners or the events, we obviously have to pay the fees. But any surplus goes to whatever is our chosen charity. And as we've explained before, we've had 16 years of them, and over 60 grand has gone to things like prostate cancer, Alzheimer's, all sorts of things that particularly apply to men, and particularly to people that used to head the ball and run around for 20 years. So that was always one of our ambitions. We didn't think that it would perhaps take off in the way it did. And we, as you know, had our annual meeting yesterday, and Vince Faulkner, who's our very, very efficient treasurer, tells us that we've got nearly 120 paid-up members. And this is where we're different to virtually every other club in the country. Players, ex-players, pay to become a member of the Ex-Players Association. That, of course, causes a bit of difficulties with the modern players, who've only been earning thousands and thousands a week and a year. All the amateurs, they pay up quite good-humouredly, sometimes in a little push, but we extract the funds, and we charge £20 a year, and that goes as well towards all the expenses that we have as well. So it's different from any other club, and now I get people from other clubs saying to me, we don't know how you do that. We can't attract back any players. And I think I told you the story a few weeks ago. We went to Terry Reardon's funeral. I met a guy from Brentford who happens to be one of their directors. And he couldn't believe, A, how many people we had at the funeral. And secondly, how do we manage to attract 250 people to our annual dinner? How many people play in the golf tournament? Do they come to the quiz, do the bowls? He was just amazed, because he says that people who've played at Fulham there for a couple of years, they're on to the next thing. And unless they're paid an arm and a leg, they're not going to come back and do anything for free. So we're different.
And you must be so pleased and proud as well how the association sort of gives back to the club in terms of stadium tours, helping out at the Warm Hub with the foundation, decorating even.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we were asked to do Monty's, and yeah, we have a very close association with people like Matt Cecil in particular, who is a fantastic guy, a great guy for Wycombe Wanderers, but a great guy for football. And I don't think Wycombe necessarily realise what a gem they've got there with him and with Phil, because those two would fill similar roles at any top club. And hopefully it's going to be a championship club next year. But yeah, we were asked to do some pictures around the ground, and so I did those for the kind of reception area. And then we decided that after we helped get an exhibition going in Wycombe Museum, that we would take that exhibition and add to it and put it into Monty's. And that now is the scene for the Winter Hub, but it's also the centre point for the tours that Vince Faulkner and Keith Samuels do, with help from John Bignall, so efficiently week after week. They take tours around the ground, they just turn up, do the tours, move on to the Winter Hub, do that, go back home. And that's the kind of person that makes up Wycombe Wanderers ex-players, and especially the committee and so-called executives.
And what else is excellent about the association is there's always so much to celebrate about the club's history. Big thanks to Paul at Chairboys on the Net, who's pointed out that on the 10th of April in 1993 was the FA Trophy semi-final second leg at Sutton, which is a very famous game. And we've been fortunate enough to speak to players who've played in that, and obviously the manager as well at that time, about that game alone. But where, you know, the players really believed that they would win, and it's been fantastic to hear those stories.
Well, that's another area that Chairboys on the Net, Wycombe are very, very fortunate to have somebody like Paul who does this kind of daily roundup of history events. And I was very quick to latch on to that and make that the kind of focal point yearly. Okay, what was the best thing that happened over the past 50 years? And as you know, we've done the boys from the 1950s, boys, I say that in parenthesis, the boys of 57 who came back twice, remembering the very first time that the club ever went to Wembley in the Amateur Cup final. We've the boys of 70s who had such a fantastic time under that marvellous manager, Brian Lee. It was in the days when the club had a manager. We've done the 90s. We've done the 80s. Every event we have covered at our annual dinner. And we get new people come. And in fact, it happened this year where we got some of the helpers around the club who, again, do a magnificent job, who came, sat down, watched it, and came up to me afterwards and said, "We didn't realise that the dinner did all this. We thought it was just a dinner and a couple of people perhaps chatting." But as you know, we had Adebayo Akinfenwa there getting a long service medal from us. We got Joe Jacobson remembering his years here. We had Scott McLeish, who was the top goal scorer in the EFL, which we were celebrating the 20 years there. So every year, and it's becoming a nightmare because you know, we've covered all the major events, you know, the FA Cup semi-final at Liverpool, all of those things, but we've done them, and that way we've encouraged the players from the past to come back to the club, and you know, most of them live a long way away. In today's world. We don't go to Gerrard's Cross and pick up the foreigners, as I've told you many times before. People don't live locally here, and also, of course, they don't stay at a club for very long. So we're lucky to attract back players. You know, we had Martin Taylor came down. You know, he lives the other side of Derby. Obviously, I mentioned Martin O'Neill. Martin O'Neill has been one of our biggest supporters. He comes virtually every year to the annual dinner, and if he doesn't stand up and make remarks about Bill Clear, the referee, then it's not a real dinner.
And it's fantastic as well that people, Andy Kerr can come from Canada, and obviously Steve Guppy's abroad, but he tries to get back, and it's fantastic for those players also to kind of be reunited as well.
Well, and Jeff Cooper, who's in New Zealand, who played in that trophy final, he was amazed when I managed to track him down and chatted to him, and he said, "I can't believe that, you know, a club like Wycombe Wanderers would want, you know, to talk to me 25 years later." And I said, "Well, we're interested in every player who had a game at Wycombe Wanderers. Doesn't matter whether it was the first team, reserves, youth team. We want you to become a member of." And because of that, he re-engaged with those people you've just mentioned, all of those people that were with him in that trophy-winning team. And that, to me, is one of the biggest pluses to my time here with the association, is drawing those players together. And I mean, you know, Colin, you were here or at the club a few weeks ago when we had the 1975 boys there celebrating the 50 years since they played Middlesbrough. And what a reception they got. And they were so chuffed that people still actually remember them. And of course, we do remember them. And it takes us back, you know, to our own. I wouldn't say exactly 75 was my childhood, but it's just a wonderful feeling to get people back together and chatting about the old times. But remembering, as I say, and I always say this, our motto, from our past comes our future.
And I think what really stands out is how much the club means to the players, or the ex-players, I should say, but well, and the players, but also, you know, that they keep coming back and they keep, you know, really passionately remember, you know, their time here.
Yeah, they, I mean, you interview one every week, and every week I think you are surprised that how much Wycombe Wanderers meant to players like Gary Hand. Gary, you know, had a terrific career with other clubs, but his 2 years at Wycombe, he said, were the best 2 years of his life. And that is echoed by so many players, which is fantastic.
So what would you say have been some of your highlights during your time as vice chair?
Well, I think just going from nothing, literally nothing, and sitting down with Hutch and Vince and Sammy, men who are still associated with the Ex-Players Association, and saying, well, who should we contact? I mean, it was, when we started, you didn't have Facebook and messaging and all the rest of it. I sat down with a phone book and looked up names. Merrick L., Bledlow Ridge, that must be Les Merrick. I'll give him a ring, see if he remembers who we are. And it was a big surprise to all of these people. And every time I contact somebody who hasn't been contacted before, they are genuinely surprised, although now, because of social media, they're now looking at the Facebook pages and responding, as dozens and dozens of them have already today, about the, you know, the news that Hutch and I are stepping aside, and Keith Samuels and John Bignall are, you know, taking the reins, which I think is fantastic. It was me that proposed those two, and everybody else agreed unanimously that they would be the two prime candidates. I must just tell you this as well, that, you know, in my career as a journalist, and I was lucky to meet all sorts of so-called famous people. I can remember interviewing Jack Charlton, and this was before we played Wycombe Wanderers, and he said about his career and the fact that as a manager he was going to leave after 5 years. And I said, well, why is that if you've got a successful team? He said, because people get tired of the same old voice. And he said, either you go or you get rid of the whole squad. So I think after 16 years, people are probably sick of my voice. It'd be lovely to hear the gentler tones of John Bignell and the gruffer tones of Keith Samuels.
Well, huge thank you for all that you do for the association. And I know you're a bit of an unsung hero with also with the social media, with the Facebook, and also the, as you know, the organising of the dinner and loads of other stuff as well. And I know people really look forward to the newsletters as well.
Well, I hope so. You know, every week and every month we think of something else to do. You know, I'm still going to be behind the scenes, hopefully, for as long as I can, family commitments permitting. And we're going to come up with other ideas, I'm sure, and led, as I say, by our two enthusiastic new boys. And I must just say this one final thing, if I might, Colin. I must also obviously pay a huge tribute to Hutch. Hutch has not been great over the last year. He had another fall a few weeks ago and badly injured his face and his arms and his legs. But if it wasn't for the phone call that he made to me, I wouldn't be involved. And he put it very nicely. You know, I wonder if you got a few minutes a month to help me set up this association, which I've got ideas for. Yeah, thanks, Hutch, that those few minutes have turned out to be quite a few hours, but I wouldn't have missed it for the world.
It must be such a nice feeling, kind of reuniting people as well and just bringing people together. It's such a sort of community by itself, really.
It is. I mean, and what I like is that, you know, we're talking about people that played just a few years ago to players that played, you know, in the 40s and 50s. And I mean, in just a week's time, oh, no, 8 days' time, we, for instance, we'll be celebrating Dick Tunmer's 95th birthday. You know, Dennis Syrett is 92 in a couple of weeks' time. Tony Horseman, perhaps for me, the greatest individual player the Wycombe Wanderers have ever had. And I told that to Adebayo, and he agreed. He couldn't believe the number of goals that Tony Horseman had scored and how many games he'd played. The only thing I would say there is, we wish those great happy birthdays, but we do desperately need a younger element, and that's both on the committee and to continue the Ex-Players Association, because it is fun. And and I know, I mean, somebody like Jack Grimmer is doing a tremendous job, you know, taking on that role that he has. I would like to see him and Joe Jacobson kind of, not Jack is not an ex-player yet, but he will be, and those to take on a role so that this association goes on, and from what we've done, the small beginnings, to even greater things.
I was going to say, how would you like to see it move forward in the future?
Well, that's exactly it. That is, I think, the biggest problem. And, you know, we've talked about that virtually ever since we started. How do we encourage new people? And I say we, strangely enough, the JJs and the Bios, they're the people that have actually started coming back to watch the club. A lot of ex-players don't come back because they don't like watching football. I can remember sitting next to Craig McEl Smith last season when they played Peterborough, and he was the Legends guest, and I took him round there and all the rest of it, sat next to him during the game, and I said, "You're not really enjoying this, are you?" And he said, "No." He said, "Nothing beats playing, but they have to get over that particular stage because, unfortunately, a playing career ends and you do become an ex-player. Well, the next best thing is remaining friends with a lot of other ex-players by coming to our events."
So for anyone who's interested and wants to find out more, how can we find out more about the Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Players Association?
Well, it's easy. Just go to Facebook, message me, and I will give them the full drill before I demand the money.
Yeah. You said extract earlier. I don't want to go into how that happens, but
we have enforcers. Oh, we've got people.
I can think
like
of one straight away.
who's about 6'7" and about 18 stone now. We'll send him round knocking on doors, and I think somebody like Bio would help as well. So we have our ways.
People would certainly pay up quickly, I'm sure. It's been a real pleasure to speak to you. Thank you so much indeed, to both yourself and Hutch for all you've done in your senior roles, and I hope you enjoy your kind of stepping down slightly.
Thank you, Colin, and we will definitely keep in touch.
Definitely. A big thank you as well for all your help with arranging players to speak to you on this show as well.
It's been a pleasure.
Brilliant chatting to JDT, John Taylor, who is, until yesterday, let's call him the outgoing vice chair of Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Players Association, speaking to us here at Wycombe Sound.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire, and on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound.
I'm Martin Clark.
And I'm Heather Harrison.
Join us between 10 and 12 noon every Sunday for Classics Count.
We'll be playing music you know, music you like, and music you'd love to hear again.
And we'll be telling you about composers, orchestras and instruments, and stories behind pieces of music.
We'll also be talking to musicians in the studio about upcoming local classical concerts.
So listen in Classics Count 10 till 12 on Sundays.
And on Listen Again.
Here on Wycombe Sound.
The Wycombe Wanderers Show, Thursdays from 7.
106.6 FM. Still to come on this week's edition of the Wycombe Wanderers Show, we'll hear from head coach Mike Dodds talking ahead of the visit of Stevenage, which is a 12.30 kickoff on Saturday. We should know that by now. There's another 12.30 kickoff still to come. But let's briefly turn our attention to Wycombe Wanderers Women. The Chairgale season coming to a close. Their final league game of the season is in a fortnight at Oxford City. They played at home to free admission on Sunday and drew 4-4 with Winchester City Flyers. And we spoke a little earlier on in the season to Danielle Puddiford. If you were listening last week, we had Kayla on who chatted to about how Dan or Puds brought her to the club, and brilliant to catch up with Dan again.
It's crazy how quick this season can go. You know, one minute you're just starting the season and you're signing, and then the next minute we're coming to, you know, the last couple of games.
And how do you reflect on how it's gone for yourself personally?
Yeah, I mean, the first half of the season was tough for me because I was injured for, you know, a good 7-8 games, I think. So when you miss that much, it's hard to kind of, you know, pick yourself up and get back going. But since, obviously, the break since January, I've been, you know, pretty much 90 minutes every week. And the second half of the season has definitely gone a lot better for myself and for the team as well.
Your contribution has been fantastic. We had Kayla on last week, of course, and she was saying, you know, how great a deliverer of a ball you are, and fantastic with free kicks as well.
Yeah, you know, I always like to contribute, you know, what I can to the team, and any goals and assists that I can help the team with is always good, and you know, for the team and for me personally, I've always, you know, try and set myself high standards to get a certain amount of, you know, goals and assists per season. This season I'm just shy of it, just obviously because of the injury and stuff. But yeah, no, definitely been good to contribute to the team and, you know, help us keep getting 3 points.
Another contribution, of course, is bringing Kayla along, as we spoke last time, but I'm sure you couldn't have imagined she'd be the league's leading scorer and has contributed so much herself.
Yeah, I mean, she's had a fantastic season. I think she scored like 30 goals, maybe 31 or 32. I can't remember exactly, but, you know, she's a goal scorer. And if, you know, she gets in a good area, she's more than likely capable of scoring. And, you know, it is nice to obviously play with someone that I've played with before at previous clubs. So, yeah, it's been nice to obviously play with her again and bring her to Wickham with me.
And really nice for the whole team, but I guess for yourself as well. You know, obviously you've played at bigger grounds at higher levels, but fantastic to have had that game at Adams Park and the way that went as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's obviously at any level, it's nice to play, you know, in front of a bigger crowd and play in a stadium on you know, a better surface and stuff like that. I've, you know, played at previous grounds. You know, I've played at Everton, at Tottenham, at Watford. I've played in, you know, lots of stadiums. I've played at Adams Park previously for Watford against Reading, you know, a few seasons back, and it was nice to play there again. And I think it's fantastic for, you know, at tier 5 level to be able to have the opportunity to play at Adams Park. And I think, you know, it's something that the, you know, the team are looking to do more so next season.
And it's a great advert for the team and women's football locally. Obviously got off to such a great start, going 3-0 up so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it's ideal. It's great for the crowd to see, you know, lots of goals when they come to a game. And I think it was like within the first 11, 12 minutes, we were 3-0 up. So that's always great, you know, going into any kind of half-time team talk, 3-4-0 up is great. And like I said, it's great for the younger girls who come out and watch to, you know, see goals and have that bit of excitement as well. And like you said, for women's football, it's great that more games now are getting played at, you know, men's teams, stadiums. And it's, you know, it's good for progression and moving on.
And the team has come on so well this season. And obviously when we last spoke to you, that the aim was promotion, but even securing second place would be an amazing achievement.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would have been their highest finish in their history, I think, for the Wickham women. So it is fantastic, obviously, finishing second. The goal was promotion, but, you know, I mean, Ascot haven't lost a game, so they deserve to win the league. You know, that's just a fact. You know, any team that can go unbeaten do deserve to win a league. So we were just shy of our target. But I think when a team finishes second, I think they finished second 3 seasons in a row. So, you know, it was probably their time. You know, they're an established team. They've kept a lot of their players together over the last few seasons. So, you know, there's nothing saying that we can't do that next season. And I think, you know, promotion is what we're looking for next season, 100%. You know, like we said, we just missed out on it this season by a few points. But yeah, we're definitely looking to obviously still finish second and still get those 3 points away at Oxford in a couple of weeks' time.
Is it quite bittersweet in a way, because you are so close to the top of the table? It's a bit like, isn't it, when you turn up to a train or a bus, you only miss it by a few moments.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, it's not ideal when you're just, you know, shy of it. But if we're looking on reflection, I think Wickham lost the first game of the season 3-0 to Porchester. I hadn't yet signed. And, you know, when you lose the first game of the season, I always feel like it's, you know, you're almost climbing an uphill battle. When you lose that first game, it's like you're already behind everybody else. You know, we've dropped some points. Obviously, we lost against Ascot in January, which was a big, you know, that's a 6-pointer game. And then I think we dropped a point against Scholing in maybe September or October time. So when you drop points against teams that you want to be picking, you know, 3 points against in a league where it's going to be tight and going to be close, you can't do that. You know, I've played in teams before where if you're looking for promotion, it's almost like you've got to go unbeaten and you've got to have that kind of mentality to do that. Like I said, we've only lost, it would have been the 2 games. And then now with obviously the Winchester, we've drawn 2. So when you look at only losing 2 and drawing 2 in a season, that's a fantastic season. But it's not as good as obviously Ascot's, who are unbeaten. So it is bittersweet. But at the same time, you know, we have fallen short and we perhaps this season don't deserve to win the league, if you're looking at, you know, stats and facts. But next season, there's no reason why we can't, you know, go unbeaten and get promotion.
I was going to say, there are so many positives to take into to the new campaign as to what has been achieved and built this season.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, if we're playing the football we're playing in the last 5-6 weeks now, as maybe we did in September, October, then we wouldn't have drawn at Sholin. We might not have drawn at Ascot, you know, and first game back in January, lost at Ascot. I think in the last 5-6 weeks, I think the team's come a long way. I think we're playing much better football. We've kind of got that same squad now where, you know, with injuries and bits and pieces, you know, we weren't having consistent kind of squad. But now in the last like 6-7 weeks, we've had the same squad, you know, very similar starting 11. And when you start to build those relationships on the pitch, it's massive, and it's a game changer as to, you know, what performances bring. So, yeah, definitely have positives, you know, wrapping up the season and then going into next. I think what, you know, the aim is to kind of keep the squad we have and then potentially bring some other players in who can, you know, obviously help boost the squad as well. So I think if we can keep the core of the squad and everyone stay together, there's no reason why we obviously can't, you know, progress on next season.
Fantastic. And really great to have that sort of blend of youth and experience as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, you do have to have both. You know, it's great to have some of the younger girls, you know, coming up and getting into the squad and getting some minutes. You know, Sophie Harvey, for example, at right back's been fantastic. I think she's 16 or 17. I mean, it's crazy, you know, to have a player, you know, of her potential in the squad. And then obviously, you know, myself and Jordan, we're obviously a lot older and more experienced, but I definitely think the blend of both is what's needed to a certain degree. But, you know, it's very hard when you have only young players, because potentially they wouldn't know how to maybe see out a game, stuff like that. And then obviously with experience and older players might not have, you know, the fitness and the enthusiasm as such of the younger players. So I definitely think, you know, a blend of both is what's needed.
And just finally, because obviously a win, but what's the main things you hope to get out of this final game against Oxford?
Yeah, I mean, 3 points is a must. You know, we don't want to have to leave it into the hands of other teams. If we lose and Porchester win both of their games or something like that, they could finish second. So we don't want to be in any position as such that, you know, we're potentially giving up second place. We'll go there. We'll, you know, the aim is 3 points, finish second. I think that's what everyone's, you know, mindset is going to be. I don't think anything less than second is what we deserve. So we need to make sure we go there, you know, with the mentality that we have to still get 3 points, and we're almost, you know, playing kind of like a cup final to get that second position.
Well, it's been a real pleasure to catch up with you again, and wish you all the best for the end of the season.
Thank you so much.
Great chatting to Danielle, Dan Pudds, on the show once again, a personal trainer by day and very much involved in Wycombe Wanderers women's success this season after signing at the beginning of the campaign. As mentioned, Oxford City are the next opponents and final league opponents in a fortnight. There's also the Sponsors Cup to come as well, and some post-season friendlies, I'm sure, too. We'll be catching up with Captain Bobby Lynch on next week's show. Also due to be speaking to Amy Leach and manager Carl Simon as well before their season's out. Let's turn our attention back to the men now, and as you're probably well aware, Wycombe Wanderers, after Tuesday night, sit third in League One, 3 points off the automatic promotion places. Both Wycombe and Wrexham, and indeed the other top six rivals, have all played 41 games. Birmingham City, who are top of the table at the moment and on Tuesday night secured promotion with their victory at Peterborough, currently on 95 points from their 40 games. They've still got a game in hand as well. Wrexham, who arguably have a easier, in inverted commas, running than Wycombe, but Wycombe Wanderers on 78 points, as I say, 3 points off Wrexham and 4 ahead of Stockport, and also in front Charlton in 5th place. Both those teams still to come this season. Reading occupy the final playoff place. They got snuck in as well at the expense of Bolton. Huddersfield, of course, who Wycombe won Tuesday night, down in 8th place, and Saturday's opponents, Stevenage, currently in 14th in the table. Phil's been speaking to head coach Mike Dodds about the importance of the game, and there's some more mowing here too.
Stevenage will be a different type of challenge. You know, they're a really hard team to break down, so One thing I do ask is that the fans stick with us, because it could be one of those, again, since I've been at the football club, one of those afternoons where a team just want to kind of sit in and make things difficult. Might not be, I don't know, but, you know, Stevenage are a well-oiled team out of possession, so they'll be hard to break down, and, you know, we've got to try and find solutions for that over the next couple of days.
Tuesday night was a long away trip, but the victory, I guess, gives momentum and gives a spring in the step coming into this one.
Yeah, I think it was important for the group because I think it's just rewards for sticking together, believing in what we're doing, you know, having a real strong culture behind the scenes. I think it's just reward for all those things. Was the performance as good as the other performances? No, but that's football, unfortunately. Sometimes you don't perform as well as what you would like and you get 3 points. That being said, I felt we fully deserved the win the other night, and I think that's three performances now on the trot where we deserve to take 3 points, which internally in terms of the dressing room is really important, knowing that we're going into the final games of the season full of confidence.
The 3 points on Tuesday put us within touching distance of second as well. Fans, I know you just concentrate on Wickham, but fans will probably be watching the game. They might have an earpiece in or an eye on their phone checking the other results. We're at that stage of the season, aren't we? Can you appreciate the stress the fans have been going through?
Yeah, and listen, I can appreciate the stress the fans have been going through for the last five games. And, you know, I'm not naive to all those kind of stresses and anxiety. And one thing I did say when I came to the football club, I'm going to be really balanced and level. I'm going to be respectful of that stress and anxiety because I know how much it means to people. But what we can't do, we can't get emotional with that. We've got to be really focused on what we're trying to do. But all we've got to do is turn up on a Saturday, this Saturday against Stevenage, be really focused on getting 3 points and not worry about anyone else. And if we do that for the remaining five games, we give ourselves a real opportunity of being successful.
Early kickoff as well, second week in a row. We've got a few more of these to come this season. What's your view on those in terms of preparation? Does it change anything?
Not really, I'll be honest with you. I think I prefer it, if I'm being brutally honest, because I haven't got the morning thinking about what ifs and if this happens, you know, should we do this? And, you know, it's just kind of, let's kind of get the ball on the grass and let's play type thing. So you've done all your preparation, and then, you know, match days are just, unfortunately, they're over to the players because you've done all your work and you just need the players to execute their bits. So, yeah, it will be a really tough opponent. Steve, as I said, Stephen is really, really well organised out of possession. And we're going to have to be really fully focused in and out of possession to make sure we try and get 3 points.
Real pleasure to have Mike Dodds on the show. Of course, you can hear that full interview on Wanderers TV with Phil. Look out for pre-match drills and also Ringing the Blues as well, the fantastic podcast which Phil does. He'll be bringing you full match commentary from Adams Park. Kickoff on Saturday, as we mentioned, is at 12:30. Wycombe Wanderers at home to Stevenage. Three of the remaining five league games will be at Adams Park. So, yeah, much to play for in those quintet of games. Couldn't think of the word for five for a second. So make sure you don't miss that. We'll be back at the same time next week on the Wycombe Wanderers show. More from the head coach, more from Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Players Association, and as I say, Wycombe Wanderers women as well. Have a fantastic week between now and then, and keep backing the team, of course, and hopefully we'll get that final automatic promotion place before the season's out.